I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it.
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. And joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend. Not only does he know more about basketball than you do, he also plays the guitar better. It's Tim Lacombe. Tim, how you doing?
Hi, Coach.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Better now.
So good.
Have you been holding
up? Oh, for heaven's sake. I'm doing great. I'm actually in rough duty. I had to come to Scottsdale, Arizona to see a client yesterday, and I'm currently en route to the airport, so I'll be back for the game tonight. But
Wow.
Been a beautiful day in AZ. I'm riding with my guy Jimmy in his Uber to the airport. So, good.
Are you a guy that just wants to keep your head down and not chat with the Uber guy, or are you willing to have some conversations there?
Oh, no. Huge conversationalist.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
Hey,
you can learn from everybody, dude.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Hey, Coach, I'm hoping maybe you can help us settle something that's going on right now with the Hans and Scotty show, if you wouldn't mind. I know that you've got extensive experience with the play-by-play voice of the BYU Cougars, Greg Wrubell. Have you ever known Greg to be vindictive or angry at all?
I've seen Greg angry. I don't know about vindictive. I've never seen a vindictive side of him.
Well,
okay,
I've seen him angry. I've seen him angry, and probably because we weren't very good at night some nights. You know.
So yesterday he's on the show, and we're talking about the game for BYU, talking a little spring ball, and I'm wrapping up the interview, and then he wants to dig a little bit more into what happened with Utah State on Wednesday night, and I think he's just asking questions. And then afterwards, Hans is like, hey, I think he was trolling you a little bit. And I didn't think Greg would be down for that, but then the more I listened to him, I'm like, I think he was taking some digs. So listen to this, and you tell us what you think. Well, certainly always a pleasure to catch up with you, Greg. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catch up to getting here very, very soon.
Yeah, where are you, by the way, Scotty? Did you go to Boise last night, or what was the deal there?
Yeah, I am in Boise. Got here yesterday, and then we'll be here through Friday. So, yeah, good times.
Yeah, so you're up there, and you're going to be there through Friday night. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on real quick. I know this is your interview, not mine.
No, you're all good.
When I left for practice last night, it was about a 2-point game, maybe 10 minutes to go up at Boise State. And, Kata clearly went off. Didn't have Raleigh, is that right?
Yeah, Raleigh Wooster was out, and Brock Miller's really banged up as well. So he was a little bit limited.
So Boise takes a bit of a lead in the race for the conference crown with that win last night, right?
Yeah, you've got four teams, Colorado State, Utah State, San Diego State, now Boise State, all with three losses. So it's going to be a crazy end of the regular season for sure.
Might come down to win percentages and all that other kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And because all of them, same thing like the West Coast Conference. Nobody's played the same amount of games. Nobody's played the same opponents. It's a mess.
Well, I know that BYU fans always have an eye on Utah State and Boise State because they played them both, lost to one, beat one. And so I don't know what last night's result really means relative to BYU, but I know that both teams help BYU strength of schedule no matter the outcome. And so I've been keeping an eye on the Aggs, certainly that way, all season.
Oh. What do you think, Coach? Digging,
all right, Tim.
Taking shots, or just conversation?
Well, no, I don't. I didn't sense a lot of shot. I mean, maybe some head patting.
That's shots. That is shots.
But not shots. I mean, like go back up to your little place, little Aggie boy. And,
so Boise takes a bit of a lead in the race for the conference crown with that win last night, right?
You guys are almost as good as the Broncos, aren't you? You're right. There's some shots there, man.
Oh yeah. my favorite is when he said, well, you know, Cougar fans were paying close attention because, you know, we beat one of you and lost to the other one. Man, oh, I think he got Scotty pretty good.
Oh, no.
Well, I know the BYU fans always have an eye on Utah State and Boise State because they played them both, lost to one, beat one. And
hey, we should get him on right now and settle it. But I do. The more you play it, the more I sense a little needling going on.
I know, and that's the thing. At first, and Hans is like, "Hey, I think he was getting at you a little bit." I'm like, "No, Greg would never." But then the more you listen to it, it's like, "Oh, there's a little bit of passive aggressiveness going on there."
I don't know though. I mean, if I was a jury, you definitely kind of set me up to be on your side.
Scotty did say if it was Mark Durant, we would know it's needling. But just
like that's what I would expect from Mark, not necessarily Greg, but you know, Greg may have slipped one in there.
I can just hear it in a George Costanza voice. Greg can needle.
Oh, hey, how much do you want to see Kawhi and Paul George out on the court just to see what this Jazz team would do against a squad like that?
No, man, you always want to see the team with their best. I mean, because that's what you're ultimately kind of comparing yourself to. I know that Quinn's talked a lot about not comparing this year. The team doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention to that, and I think if anything, you know, it rings true, it's that these guys really are kind of focused on a game-to-game thing. And, but yeah, I mean, as a competitor, as a coach, you definitely want to play a team at full strength. But the point, you know, there's nothing you can do about it if they aren't, other than just beat them and go ahead and take the win anyway.
I can't, I'm trying to wrap my brain around just the overall ability and performance of this Jazz team. Scotty just tweeted out a chart. Scotty, I don't know where you found this chart, but it's showing the strengths of team in the NBA. It's the efficiency landscape of the NBA. The Jazz are number one in net, number three in offense, and number two in defense. And as far as being up in the capable quadrant, they're the number one team. But, Coach, I'm just curious, just your thought on the overall strength, the power, and ability of this team to continue what they're doing, not just through 22 or 23 games, but right through the end of the season?
Well, I think the reason that you feel like it can is there isn't really one thing that everything is, you know, one part of the facet of the game that one results are totally weighted upon. There's so much distribution. These guys can get you in so many different ways, and I think, you know, Quinn would definitely say that teams, you know, ideally for him would be a teams that you start the conversation defensively, and I think that's what he's got this year. So the obvious thing is, you know, knock on wood, that everybody stays healthy, and that really key guys stay healthy, and even deeper than that, that Rudy Gobert stays healthy. You know,
yeah.
Because he is the one that makes that defense obviously really work. And everybody else is working really hard, but he's the linchpin to that whole thing.
Jordan Clarkson, and we've talked a little bit about him in the past, but I think this has been such a good fit. And I think we all kind of raised our eyebrows a little bit last year when the Jazz acquired him, thinking, can he come in here and fit into the culture with the way this team wants to play defense? And his ability to get shots at Costco because they come in bulk. But what he's just been such a great fit. Do you attribute that to him and Quinn Snyder kind of coming together and figuring out a way to make this thing work?
Yeah, no doubt. I think that, first of all, Ian Clarkson's one of the great stories going in the NBA this year. I think most people are starting to take note of what he's doing. And he, you know, has just been such a great contribution. Or acquisition by the Jazz from the minute he got here. And I do think there was a lot of give and take. I think, but really, I think it's more than anything, it was just communication. And, you know, Quinn had an idea of how he wanted to play. He talked about the bubble, you know, at that point. They kind of re-looked at things, and it's been awesome. And a huge piece of the reason it's been awesome is Clarkson. But Clarkson's had to sacrifice a little bit too. You know, he is getting all the shots he wants, but he's getting them from the areas that work better for this team. You're not seeing him take the wild pull-up twos and that sort of thing. He's really got a purpose to his game. And that's where you got to step in and give he and the staff, you know, Quinn and the staff, a ton of credit.
Coach, what are your thoughts on the all-star selections so far? You've got the starters and you've got the captains. What did you think of, in particular, the Luka Doncic pick over and the tie break over Damian Lillard?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the all-star game, period. I know that would make me sound kind of old and old-fashioned, but it's kind of, I just have never been a huge all-star game guy. I think it's really important to honor guys individually, but where it ranks on, you know, the crazy part is there's so many great players on both sides, and there's going to be great players that get left out. And so by not starting certain guys, you insult, you know, it's just a, to me, the whole thing's kind of a popularity contest and a moneymaker, and as it should be, because there is an entertainment factor to it. But how it translates and who, you know, what it says about who, what, or who a player is or what their career is doesn't have any bearing on that.
I would agree with that. But it also shows the general level of respect that your guys have across the league. And I think that's certainly an important element. And I know that's something that Gordon Hayward had kind of talked about privately, wanting to, you know, put himself in a position with the team that he could get some of those accolades. So with that said, should this game even be being played right now in the middle of a pandemic? I mean, it's just about the money, is it not? Nobody really – I don't think any player really even wants to play in this game.
Yeah, I've heard plenty that don't. You know, I don't mind so much. You know, we're playing the games themselves during a pandemic, so I know that you can say during a pandemic, but and everybody's following the same protocol, you know, so that's – you do have some ease, you know, even like when you're bringing a guy from the bubble, he flies in from Orlando, he can join the team immediately because he's been protocoled. But that's not my decision to make. I think it's a fans thing, and really right now it might be a year where this all-star game actually needs to be played, where fans get a little bit of shot in the arm that, you know, there's some good stuff coming or hopefully around the corner. Pardon the pun about the shot in the arm.
Yeah, I got you.
Coach, I also wanted to get your thoughts. Yesterday, BYU got a win against Pacific, and there it seems like they're starting to come together pretty well before the NCAA tournament. There's talk about BYU maybe opting out of the West Coast Conference tournament this year. How would you and Coach Rose have handled this if you were making this decision to go play in that conference tournament during the pandemic and everything that's been going on?
You know, I've never been a conference tournament guy. I know they're fun to go to for everybody, but the guys playing them, it's a, you know, it's an arduous stretch against a group of teams that you've just spent the last, you know, couple months beating your head against, and then you're going to show up and be pals and play in the same arena. But without all that being said, I mean, the commitment's been made, you know, the TVs have planned on it. The league's planned on it. I think it's tough to pull out of it. I think Coach Rose, his deal was always, hey, let's do right by people, and at the end of the day, they'll do right by you. And that's kind of the way we tried to live life. I don't know. It's, I mean, you can see the argument on the other side with the pandemic being at the college level, not being handled like the NBA level. So you're opening yourself up to that, and then injury, right? A couple more games that you don't necessarily need to get into the tournament, but you're going to play them anyway. So it's a hard one for me, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I think you probably honor the commitment, and then, you know, from there on, maybe work on a clause. If there's a reason to be out, get out. Mm-hmm.
Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I know a lot of BYU fans have enjoyed watching this guy play all year, but last night he had himself a big one. How good of a player could Caleb Lohner be before this is all said and done?
I've you know, probably seen him play as early as anybody, you know, outside of family. And I mean, he was one of those guys you walk into the gym at a very young age and go, whoa. You know, it's funny you mentioned Gordon Hayward, because that was I walked in and saw him as an eighth grader, ninth grader, I can't remember which, but I walked in and I'm like, that was who it reminded me of. And he's got he's grown into unbelievable body. Like, he's got a NBA guy's body already. And he, as crazy as it is, you know, he had to figure out the physicality and the toughness and the speed of this game. But all that stuff starts to click for guys about now. You know, they're not freshmen anymore. They played enough games. And that's what you're starting to see, is a guy sinking in and feeling comfortable and instinct taking over. And I'm telling you, he's a great three-point shooter. We haven't seen that part of it yet, but he's definitely a great three-point shooter.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again next week.
Sounds good. I'm almost to the airport. So you guys did a good job of keeping me busy.
Have a safe flight, Coach.
Tip well on that Uber, too.
Okay. Take care.
All right. See ya. Are you supposed to tip on an Uber? Yeah, you are.
No. I think. Oh, yes. No. Yeah. Yes, you can.
I think at first you weren't, and then after a while they're like, no, you should probably tip the guy.
But they added it. The tip function is after you kind of close out and you're away. Like, you add it later, which I think is really interesting. But most of those guys really deserve it. They do a good job.
I like that
Uber service.
Although I'm like, every restaurant you go to, even if it's like a pickup joint or like you just go in to pick up a pizza or something like that. And then you slide your card in. They're like, hey, how much you want to tip? And the person's like standing right over the top of you. And you're like, oh, this is awkward. Because I'm just picking it up, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Don't really know how much you deserve. Kind of just handing it across the counter to me. But I do. I like how you can, you know, they leave and you can make your five-star selection and then your tip later. It's kind of nice. But I thought Coach put it pretty well. The more you listen to that audio, the more you believe there was needling. It takes a couple of times.
Yeah. I mean, the more you listen to it, like, again, first time I heard it back, I'm like, no. And then you keep hearing it over and over and over again because Lloyd plays it over and over and over again. I'm like, oof.
Yep.
Yeah, there was definitely some stuff going on there.
I agree.
Definitely some shenanigans.
I won't play it anymore. I'll
no,
I'll
no,
bury
it's
it.
Fine.
It's fine. I'll bury it.
I just now I feel like, oh man, maybe I should have fired back on him a little bit.
Well, it was the end. It was the end of the interview, so like,
I know. Look, Boise State's no Pepperdine, but it was definitely a difficult loss there for sure.
Oh, that's gonna get back to him.
Oh, that's wait, now I.
Scotty, you go too far, Commodus. Like, geez, man.
Well, don't take shots at their conference opponents, man. Holy cow.
You can only play
who you're
playing.
All of a sudden, I'm the bad guy now?
Well, we need to get Greg on just to clarify what exactly happened before we start attacking. Because, I mean, now you've already started the attack. You just pulled the pin off the grenade and lobbed it over into Provo. And now.
No. I was just like wondering what I should have said. Like, I just felt like I just kind of took a. I just stood in the ring there with Cassius Clay and took a bunch of haymakers, and I just stood there and didn't do anything about it.
You did, and that did happen. But let's make sure that those were purposeful haymakers, and he wasn't just walking with his arms swinging, and you were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, because that seems likely.
Again, why was he swinging?
Oh, that's so good.
All right. Hans, I know you're down there at RGS. They do such a great job and have helped out so many people with the exterior of their house.
They do, and they're fantastic with all kinds of things, you know, putting stone on the exterior. But one of the things they specialize in, and I got Ross hanging out with me, is Hardy Plank. And, Ross, I want you to help people understand what your connection is with Hardy Plank and why you guys believe in it so much.
So if you go to Hardy's website, and try to find installation companies on there, or if you call them, they're going to refer us if you live in Utah and in the Valley. The reason for that is we are the only elite preferred dealer that Hardy has locally. So what that means is that they do their homework. They want to make sure that if they're going to recommend somebody to use their product, they're going to find the company that does it to their specs. So we follow their programs, their installation guides. We make sure that we're not cutting any corners by using our own trim pieces. You know, there are a few different products out there that are similar to Hardy, but not Hardy. And there's a few products that are less expensive that not quite on the level of quality as Hardy. And so some of these other exterior companies will substitute different products in their exterior systems, which can save some money. But we don't do that. And we're not allowed to do that if we want to maintain that relationship with Hardy and be the ones that they refer. So we are the only elite preferred dealer in Utah. Mm. So that means we have to follow their guidelines. We're no cutting corners over here. I mean, we're going to make sure it's done the right way to their specs so you can get that full warranty. You can make sure that if you want it to be backed by a warranty, then you got to make sure it's done the right way.
You know, styles and things can change really quickly and trends. And, you know, Chip and JoJo have an episode and then everybody wants what they just saw on TV. How much work goes into making sure that you're up to date on all the latest trends and styles so that you can provide that when somebody says, yeah, I want to paint my brick white?
Right. And part of making sure that we can do whatever a customer wants, right? We want to be in line with what the customer wants to do. We're not necessarily going to go out and tell you what to do on your house. We want you to make those decisions, but we can show you some of the homes that we've done. Some of that we work on a lot of homes that with new designs, a lot of remodels where people are going to those type of shows, or they're going to Parade of Homes houses and saying, hey, I liked what this home looked like. And they can show us what that home looked like. And they'll say, hey, let's mock it up on your house and see if that's what you want. And then we can give them that thought, you know, put that thought in there, you know, right in front of them. You can, you know, transfer what their ideas are to paper or to, this, you know, a software program so they can actually see if they're ready to paint their brick white or ready to make everything black. You know, black is the new bronze, so to speak, these days. And that's in the industry, you'd understand what that meant, but it's a, everybody's going to the black trim and white all over, and it looks great right now. Is it going to look great in 20 years? Huh? Maybe.
All you have to do is get to their website, check out more information, and see what they can do for you, rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Sam Amick, I still see national pundits compare the Jazz to the Hawks of a few years ago that were so good but ended up flaming out. Is this a case where the Jazz really can't win those people over to their side? Because 20 of 21, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Donovan Starr does continue to get brighter, but it's not as bright as a James Harden or a LeBron. If you ask the casuals why Utah is winning every night, they say, tell me what LeBron's doing. But they're earning respect on a nightly basis. They're winning even when they don't play all that well, which is a sign of a really good team. They're winning when they got guys out of the lineup. They seem to also keep their perspective on the big picture and know you don't win a championship a couple months into the regular season.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Well, I stumbled in at 2 a.m. all drunk and full of smoke. My wife said I have had enough. That said I'm sick. Get out! So I stumbled down to Kelly's pub across the edge of town. And I told the boys my story, and we had another round. Oh, drink and fight. Hey. We'll drink and fight. Hey. And if I see a pretty girl, I'll sleep with her tonight. Yes, I'll drink and fight.
It is another edition of Happy Hour here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Take some of the segments of the show, slow it down so that the hosts sound a little inebriated, or do we? I don't know. You need to find out. Today, we go to the Big Show. Jake Scott, Gordon Monson, Austin Horton, talking about where were you when OJ was in the white Bronco chase.
What do you guys know about the Kardashians?
The dad is the deceased lawyer of OJ, right?
Oh, yeah. He was involved in that, yeah. I tell you, I was in L.A. when that was all going on, a lot of it, and I just can't. I had complete overload of that, and so I My wife asked me the other day if I wanted to watch this, one of the shows that reviewed that whole episode, and I said, no, I can't.
Pretty traumatic for you, huh?
No, not traumatic. I got OJ overload. It's just too much. Yeah. Jake, I've got corrections to make, okay?
Okay, corrections and retractions time.
Yeah. I've been informed that the OJ trial happened when I was here, not in L.A.
Spin got to the bottom of it.
Well, it felt like I was there. Let me say it that way.
That's the same thing, right?
I should have known, because I remember watching. I was in the newsroom at the Tribune, and I was watching on TV when O.J. was in his white Ford Bronco with Al, what's his name, and they were riding on down the freeway. And I remember that Arnold Palmer was walking up the fairway at the U.S. Open for the last time, and it was going on simultaneously. If my memory serves right, I remember thinking, okay, I've interviewed in depth both of those guys, and it was just so weird to see, you know, Arnold Palmer walking down the fairway getting all these applause and OJ in that car running from the cops. It just seemed like such a strange kind of juxtaposition, because I thought so highly of both of those individuals when I interviewed them.
And yet, all these years later, you were so emotional, you couldn't get into it.
Well, I was watching it, and I was familiar with the places involved, and I've ridden past where that crime happened. So anyway, I'll just say it that way.
You'll say it what way?
What way are we?
Like in a non-truthful, I was there, like Brian Williams way? Like what type of way are you intending it to say it? Like it made it sound like he was right there with Al Cowlings, like actually behind the wheel. And boy, that was just the worst time of my life. I was trapped, didn't know what to
hey,
do.
Hey, OJ, we really need to pull this Jeep over, man.
Got a call from Cato Kalin the other day, and I don't know. I couldn't even hardly talk to him.
Yeah. And plus, I got to be out at the U.S. Open. I got to talk to Arnold, because he yeah. and I are really good friends.
And he does make it sound like he interviewed every single person in that case, including Cowlings and O.J. Did he interview O.J. after?
No, he interviewed O.J. before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man. It really, though, when he first started about it, and Jake was like, hey, you know, this and this. And he was like, oh, no, don't take me down that road. Please don't take me down that road.
Those are dark times.
I was thinking, oh, he must have been in the mix of this thing, like right there with it. But now, lo and behold, he was here in good old safe Salt Lake City, Utah, and far away from the action. I love Gordon, man. He is just...
He is the best.
He is. He's one of the all-time greats, man. Love him. And he does not stop making me smile every single day on my drive home. Every day he says something that just makes me laugh, including pretending that he was in the white Bronco with Cowlings and Simpson. Like, I don't remember a third guy being in the Bronco, but he was there, and he documented it.
You remember when that went down?
Yeah, I was there. I was
drove. I had complete over load of.
Okay, so I wasn't there, but Michael well, Jackson's sister was. He is, man.
Well, it felt like I was there. Let me say it that way.
He is. He's like the Chunk of 1280 talking to the officers. Chunk, is this like when the UFO pulled up to your house and asked to use your restroom? Is this when Bigfoot?
I remember he calls him Lawrence. Now, Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, Lawrence. Yeah, he called him Lawrence. Is this like the time Michael Jackson showed up to use your restroom? Oh, man. He is the Chunk of 1280.
And then this one time I brought this bag of fake vomit into the theater. And Al Collins told me not to, but I did it anyway.
There's one time I took my chicken to school and I had him on a leash, but another guy let his dog out and it ate my chicken.
It's the worst thing I've ever done. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we love
it. Well, speaking of the Big Show, we'll kick it off. Get you ready for the Big Show coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Ken Pomeroy. You're a local guy. What's your favorite local sports radio show?
You know, I'm a big fan of the Movie Zone. Is that a sports show?
No. Sports, Ken. Stay with me. Come on, Ken. Come on.
Okay. I guess it'd be DJ and PK.
Make a promo out of that.
That was pretty convincing, I thought.
Yeah, you really sold it. That was awesome. It's a pretty low bar here, though, so we're not really going to get all that worked up.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and I truly, truly love your show and wake up to it every morning. How's that?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Wrapping up another edition of the show, wrapping up another week of the show. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans, you got big plans this weekend. You gonna go do a little fishing?
Yep. Going to drill a hole in the ice at about 4:30 in the morning tomorrow morning. So I will be in the slush and ice and snowy conditions trying to pull a fish out of the lake.
It's not your wife's birthday or anything tomorrow, is it?
No. And the way I'm able to get by on this is I ask her to go with me. And I'm like, honey, I would love to have you come out and fish with me. And I just know for a fact it'll never happen. Like, she will not. First of all, she hates fishing. Second of all, she hates ice. Second of all, she hates snow. And then third of all, she really hates standing on ice and snow for extended period of times.
And being cold.
And being freezing cold. But I love it, man. I love it when my ears go numb and it starts to burn my lungs just a bit. That's when you know it's good.
Well, you know, you have a couple of fish out of the water by, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then you're back home before you know it.
Yeah, that's the hope. And you've got a big call tonight, buddy. This is a big game for the Utah State Aggies. They've got to find a way to win game number 2 in Boise.
Yeah, if Utah State doesn't win this one, then they are probably in a situation where they're going to need to win the conference tournament. So if they win this one, then I think they've got themselves in a pretty good situation where if they can at least make a deep run in the tournament, they've got a good shot of being an at-large. However, if they lose this one, then it kind of puts them in a pretty difficult spot, something that they have not been able to get done or something that they've been able to overcome in the past, but still you'd like to give yourself a little bit of a cushion. And I think the hope all along was try to find a way to get a split here. And if they can do that, they've got a good chance. But after that game one loss and the Raleigh Wooster injury and a couple other guys that are banged up a little bit, I think there's certainly a big case for concern here.
So Wooster's still off the court. Is Miller doing any better?
Well, I'm sure Miller will play. And he played last game, and defensively I thought he was really good. Just tough offensively, and not exactly sure what's going on there, but Coach just mentioned in the post game that he's really beat up. And then, but as far as Wooster goes, I haven't heard an official word as to whether or not he'll go. Frankly, I'd be surprised if he did, but you never know. He's a tough son of a gun, so we'll have to wait and see what goes on there. But they definitely need a little bit of help in that backcourt.
Utah Jazz, of course, taking on the Clippers again tonight. I'm at this point, I'm expecting, I guess, the Jazz just to beat them again. I guess 22 of 21 or 21 of 20, or I guess it'd be 22 of 21, 21 of 22. It's unbelievable that they continue to do this, but you can't pick against them right now.
No, you just can't. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. If they win this game, then they've got a nice stretch where they'll have two games off before playing Charlotte coming up on February 22nd. So, you know, that's to have a couple of days rest after spending a few days in Los Angeles. I think that would be really nice for this team. So there's a lot of motivation there. Hey, get a W right now. And then you got a couple days to rest up. And then you got a big one against the Lakers coming up. And then you can, you know, find a way to kind of hopefully get a little bit of rest going into the All-Star break before the second half of the season, which is going to be really, really interesting.
And it was announced earlier today that Anthony Davis with the Lakers is going to be out for about 4 weeks. So we know that next Wednesday the Lakers will be without Anthony Davis, but they'll still have LeBron James on the court, and they'll still have Gasol, and they'll still have Schroeder, and they'll still have, former Utah player that just slipped my mind. They'll still have Kyle Kuzma, and they are still going to be a deadly group out there that'll want to prove a point. So we've got a huge week for the Utah Jazz coming up, but the Utah Jazz are a 5-point favorite tonight, Scotty. You brought up the Utah Jazz and how they've absolutely crushed it in Vegas in covering. Will the Utah Jazz cover the 5 tonight against the Clippers?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think they will.
Man. Back-to-back wins against the Clippers. I have to go with it, man. I think even if just one of the three came back, one of the three starters that's out with the Clippers, Batum, Kawhi Leonard, or Paul George came back, I still think the Utah Jazz stomp them. So I guess we'll be talking about another win for the Jazz coming up next Monday.
Well, Hans, have a good weekend. I will see you back on Monday, my friend.
Sounds good, and it's been a blast to be out here at RGS Exteriors and Ross hanging out. And, Ross, first of all, thank you so much for having us out here, and thanks for treating our listeners so good.
Oh, well, always. We love having you guys out here, entertaining at the least.
Yeah, very much at the least. But kind of the parting message with RGS and being out here with the listeners, if you have a project, an exterior project, understand, first of all, RGS takes it very serious, and it will be the highest quality craftsmanship that you guys are going to have on the outside of your home, whether it's gutter, siding, or otherwise. So understand that you need to get the process started by calling in and getting going right now. Ross, they just need to get the project started, right?
Right. I mean, urgency is, if something's on your mind, if you're in the middle of winter or just getting through the winter season, it's urgent, right? But then we see the forecast and we see, oh, it's going to be warming up. And then you start thinking about spring, thinking about things that you're going to be doing in the spring or in the summer. And you start forgetting real quick about what it was like during those winter months. And this was a pretty light winter, obviously, but people did experience problems with their exterior, with cold spots in their house. Maybe their siding's starting to fall off, chip, fade, crack, whatever, or maybe they got leaks, ice problems. These type of things, yeah, they go away for a season, but then they come back again. And trying to call a company to come out and do any kind of work when you need it, it's hard, because if you wait till there's a problem, you're waiting till everybody else is calling as well. So get going on it now. Get some ideas, you know, get an idea on how much it's going to cost you. Get some financing options and get it solidified now. That way you can get it done in plenty of time before the problems come about again.
You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, you talk about the planning and I think the great thing is have somebody just come out to your house and explain, hey, these are the issues we're dealing with. This is what we'd like to do. This is what we think would be great. What other advice might you have? What else can we do? And I think the options and the alternatives and everything else that you show off with the information that you can present is really important for a lot of our listeners, too.
Well, we try to make it as easy as possible. We try to separate ourselves, you know, make sure we're doing a professional job and give the customers an idea of what they're actually going to have when it's a finished product. And that sits well with a lot of people, and that's why we have the relationships and the referrals that we do.
How much business do you guys get on word of mouth? I got to imagine it's quite a bit.
Sure. Yeah, it is quite a bit. You know, everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses, right? We do a good job on somebody's house, and we want them to refer their neighbor. We want them to brag to their neighbor about that, you know, about what they just had done on their house. And so we get quite a bit of referral work, and we're proud of that.
Well, go to rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com for more information. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, everyone at RGS, for helping us out. And Hans, see you back here on Monday, buddy.
Be safe. We'll see you then.
97.5, 1280 The Zone.